You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Merkle Media.
Hey everybody, welcome to Back It Up with Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Jack Merkel, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've had a good week and are ready for the weekend. This week, we have a great episode for you, but before we get into that, I just wanted to make sure I let you all know what happened with Wednesday's show. My dad, Brian Merkel, that is, the one of the hosts of the show, he's down here visiting me and my brother and his family in Tennessee, and when he left, he uploaded the shows to Dropbox, which is the platform that we use to transmit the shows between each other, so that way there's no hard copies or anything like that. But it's easier for us to for me to download the show from that platform and then edit the show and put it out for you guys. However, on Saturday, after he had had some interviews, there was a little bit of a technical issue when he uploaded the files to Dropbox, and therefore I didn't have any episodes in Dropbox for myself to edit and ship out to you guys for Wednesday. So what's going to end up happening is we'll be putting out a show tomorrow on Saturday, the 9th of September. You guys can keep an eye out for that one. That way you still have a show this week, plus the Back It Up, and you'll be able to listen to another show next Wednesday as well. So keep your eyes out tomorrow for a new show that isn't Back It Up. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But it was great to have him down here. I'm sure him and Ship will talk about it on the next show that you guys hear him record. But anyway, so that's it for this week. I hope you guys are doing well, had a great Labor Day, were able to relax and maybe unwind just a little bit before you had to hit the road again. So here we go, getting into another Back It Up with episode 65, Double Belly Dumps. This was a hilarious show, great show, as always. But Kelly was someone who kind of brought a different approach to a bunch of stuff. He deals with very heavy materials. He had driven very, very long, I think 115 feet long, nose to tail is what I remember. So he's been doing some crazy things on the road, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun to record back in the day, a lot of fun to listen to, and so I hope you guys enjoy this one on a Friday. And get ready for that episode tomorrow on the 9th. It's going to be another great one. We'll be joined by Jamie and Johnson. So it's a good one. Enjoy it. Enjoy this week. Have a great weekend. Peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
I went around that truck and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're so happy that you're here.
Wow.
There you go. Changed. Yeah. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Dad, we got a voicemail line. Tell the people about it.
We have a voicemail line for you to call and give a short story to us. If you have a short story, you want to share it from the road, a short story of something you experienced or something you've seen, we'd love to hear it. I mean, we'd still love to have you actually contact us and talk to us in person. But if you don't want to do that, you can call us at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
Yeah, and we do have a voicemail line show coming up here sometime in the future. We have a lot of voicemails that are popping up in the voicemail box.
Yes.
And we want to get to it, so keep bringing those voicemails in. We're going to do a whole voicemail show going forward here at some point. Maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll do it.
Yeah, it'll be shortly.
Yeah, so... thank you very much for all the people who have been participating in the voicemail line. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun feature for the show. And let's get the business out of the way. If you guys want, go ahead and head over to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. That is a website where you can get yourself emergency preparedness food and also emergency supplies that you can, you know, you and your family feel safe in case of an emergency happening. You guys are prepared, making sure that you have the food available and all the things you need to survive right there with preparewithhll.com. Dad, we got Kelly coming up this week.
Yes, we do.
Deli belly dump.
Double belly.
Double belly, 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 whatever. Let's get to Kelly.
Let's go.
All right, today we got Kelly on the show. Kelly, my man, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Dad, say hello. Hello. It's good to talk with you, Kelly.
Mr.
Thanks
Merkel,
for coming.
How
on.
Are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Just call me Brian. That's fine. It's good to talk with you.
Brian.
Mr. Merkel. Nobody says nice. Mr. Merkel to me.
You take there's radio silence right now. That's funny.
Mr. Merkel. Jeez. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm going to let that Mr. Merkel stew a little bit. So, Kelly, man, you've been driving for 5 years. Your dad's been doing it 25, 26 years. Does your dad, now I know you drive double bellies. Does your dad drive double belly?
Yep. He's in the same division as me. Sometimes we get to run together and it's pretty cool, but most of the time, he kind of gets the cake jobs and I get all the grunt work. So
seniority,
power, seniority,
privileges. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, is it all right? So first of all, I guess we'll start off with double bellies. What is a double belly?
Yeah. Explain for the listeners and that kind of stuff so they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So the double bellies, we haul a lot of aggregate, to the concrete batch plants for the making concrete. We also haul asphalt and all the stuff that you make roads with. They dump out of the bottom. We haul a lot of weight. My main trailer is, 24 ton. My pup is 22 ton. Altogether, you know, you can hold 140 something thousand pounds.
Yeah, holy cow.
We're long, we're like 115 feet, nose to tail. So, the double bellies are just kind of designed to come in the yard and, dump quick and get out of there so the loaders can scoop it up and pile it up.
Wow.
That is awesome. I tell you what, that's a lot of freaking trailer going down the road.
Yeah.
That's a lot of truck.
And how is it with the road driving and stuff with those things? I mean, are you, like, is there any kind of special regulations you got to follow while you're out there being that kind of size and weight?
Yeah, we have oversized and overlength permits that we run. But other than that, we just run safe, run 65, and just watch out for all the little missiles.
Yeah, that's the hard part, because you never know what those little missiles are going to do. You never know where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't think a whole lot about the idea of being nervous driving anymore, but the idea of driving one of those things, I think I'd be a little nervous. They look intimidating.
Yeah, when I first came over, I did dump truck and stuff for a while. And when I switched over to that, it was a little nerve-wracking for like the first year. But now it's just like driving the regular truck to me, really.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense. The more you do it, the more used to it you get. I just always think about, you know, the heavier it gets, the harder it is to stop. And, you know, longer distances. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Even now, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And I'm granted, I just do a regular, van trailers. But, the heavier the load, and when I'm driving, I get more concerned. I just do.
Yeah.
You know, so I can understand, the apprehension, I guess, of doing what you do because of those kind of weights. That's a lot of weight, to have running down the road with all those little cars around you.
We do a lot of stuff. We have a lot of mountains out here where we run, and some of them are pretty good size grades. There's one that's a 17% grade, and when we run up that, we drop a trailer because that's just too much. But there's a lot of canyons that a lot of people have smoked the brakes coming out of and ended up piled up at the bottom. It's pretty nerve-wracking to know those stories and think about that when you're going down the road.
Man, you got that right.
How does the grading work again? I forget. Do either one of you guys know how they do that calculation? Like, I feel like if I saw like a 6% grade, it's supposed to like drop 600 feet per 100 feet of driving. Is that how it works? I can't remember. Do either one of you know? I know it's not something that you think about a whole lot.
It's
but
not.
But like a 17% grade, that's a steep freaking hill.
Yeah, that's a steep grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really sure on that either. I really haven't put much thought into that for a while.
When I was learning trailer driving, the guy who was training me, he took me down a steeper hill, and I remember he broke it down to me when we were driving, and I just forget now, but I think it's something like, because I remember I used to come across this one that was 6%, and in my head I was like, okay, so we're dropping 600 feet per 100 feet, but I might be wrong on that. But I mean, if it's 17%, that means you're dropping 1,700 feet per 100 feet of driving. That doesn't sound right either.
It might be per 1,700 feet, 100 feet of
elevation. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd probably be more. I never even really thought about it much, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to look that up so we can fill in.
You can look it up. I won't remember 5 minutes from now.
I'll look it up tonight later on.
There you go.
what's the math configuration for figuring out the grading of a hill? So
yeah, by the time we're done talking about this, listeners will already know because they Googled it or something.
They're already doing it.
Yeah.
we'll look like idiots.
It's all right.
Yep.
You know, but anyway, it's not just a look we have.
Speak for yourself.
I could have gone harder and said, not just the look you have,
but yeah, I know.
I said we.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, Kelly, man, is this something that you wanted to do always, or is it something you fell into like me where it's like, well, I guess I'll just do what the family business is, apparently, since I have nothing else going for myself?
Yes,
well, that's a nice way of saying it, Tony. I guess what he's trying to ask you is, how'd you get into this, Kelly? That's how I would have said it.
That's what normal people would say,
you know.
I kind of just followed in dad's footsteps. I still don't really know technically what I want to do when I grow up, but this makes pretty good money, and I got full benefits and stuff like that, so takes after care of my wife and my little girl, so that's really all I care about. So
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, not many companies at all ever pay for your benefits anymore. Right. I know Pitt, Ohio does, but It's like, I think 95% of the companies in this country, not just talking to trucking, but I'm talking overall,
in general,
don't pay for your health benefits like that straight up anymore. So if you find something like that, you know, it's a
keeper.
That's
a blessing. Yeah, that's a cool thing. Yeah. It really is. I'm glad for you. That's awesome.
So what are some, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and this is, I'm home every night too. So that makes it a lot nicer. I mean, I might have to work some long days and stuff, but other than that, you know, to be home in my own bed every night makes it a big deal.
Heck yeah.
It does. Yes. It is nice to be home every day. I agree with that. I used to lay out, and I'm glad that we don't anymore. I'm glad that we're home, you know, a job where I'm home every day. It is a nice, nice thing to be able to sleep in your own bed.
Oh yeah.
So what are some of these, crazy things? I mean, have you like, I don't even know what the industry is for you driving these things. I have no idea. But I imagine you see some interesting things pulling these heavy loads, these big loads, whether it's out in the roads or maybe in these yards where you're dumping stuff. You know, what's a day in the life of Kelly look like?
Man, a lot of soccer moms driving on the road with their cereal bowls and newspapers and their tablets up on the dash and 9 kids in the back of these giant vans and stuff out here, really. That's from like 7 to about 9 o'clock in the morning, and then it's just kind of light traffic. But I've seen all sorts of stuff. I heard your guys' last episode about people giving themselves the old pat on the back going down the road.
I love the euphemisms for it. That's awesome.
We had a real friendly lady that made sure that all the trucks that were running in the convoy that day got a little free show. that was pretty interesting, being fresh into the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is it's one of those things when you see it, you're like, did I just see what I saw? Yep, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just looks over and smiled and waved and just kind of stayed right there while everybody passed. I was just like, holy smokes.
So it wasn't even an accident.
Oh, no.
No, this is on purpose. No leg up on the
dash. And
wow.
I mean, it seems like we're starting to have something happen with this show where there are certain topics that we should keep tallies on, you know, people pleasuring themselves is a tally and the other one would be poop.
Like the poop one. Yeah. I was going to say, you guys need to make a segment about that.
Yep. A weekly segment. You're right. I mean, this week in poop.
I mean, I think we could just start a whole other show and call it the poop show.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it's
well, you know what to say, poop happens.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's amazing the things that you see when you're on the road, especially like for you guys in the daytime. I mean, at nighttime, you know, people have to make an effort by like turning on their dome light for us nighttime guys to see anything, you know. But the daytime guys, you know, it's like it's just there. You know, there's no hiding it. It's like you're out there doing what you're doing. You know, God bless you.
So are these trucks, I mean, is it possible to accident? Because you said you can dump from the bottom, right?
Yep. Yeah, they open up from the bottom.
So is there, how do they open? I mean, is there ever a possibility that these things accidentally dump on the road or something?
Yeah, they have. It's just if something happens in the trailer, they have onboard air and stuff that hold those gates open and close, you know, or shut. And then when you arm the gates inside the truck, you have a big arm switch like a helicopter pilot with the bombs and stuff. And then you have 2 taco switches, one for the main and one for the pup. And you just flip those open and you're driving along, probably around third gear, and open them up one at a time to stack them, or both at the same time to spread them out.
Hmm.
So you can open them while you're driving on purpose.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, if you dump while you're stopped, it'll build up so much material behind you and take all the weight off your drive tires that you'll just get stuck. So
that would suck.
Yeah, there's been a couple times that me and Fresh, I've gone into the yard and dumped too slow and got stuck. And that's always embarrassing to go have to find a loader to come pull you out.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that's that can be frustrating for sure.
I've seen guys that have, everybody's trucks are different where the position of the switches are. And we've had guys that have accidentally had their hard hat fall off the back of their window or something and on the switch while they're going down the road and lose it and not even know, because you're going at, freeway speed, you can't even hardly feel it. It just blows across the whole freeway, basically.
Oops.
So, yeah. We've had it several times where it shut down. Well, man, how far back was that? It shut down three lanes of our six-lane freeway, and he was getting off an exit, so it shut down that whole exit for probably 3 hours while they were out there. The highway patrol and road service guys were out there trying to sweep it all up.
Wow. That's a lot of aggregate all over the place. Holy cow. Wow.
I've seen guys that have done that in dump trucks and hauling rock and just been dribbling rock out and had, 12 or so cars off the side of the road before he noticed that he was losing rocks and busting windows out and stuff like that.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks. So, I mean,
that would be a bad day.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, yes, that's a lot of insurance companies to deal with.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to hear that one from the boss.
Yeah, I mean, out here, I don't know how it is. I mean, yeah, you guys get snow out there, right? Because, I mean, I know you're recording in Nevada, but when you got like a snowstorm and stuff, you got that ice on the top of the trailer. I mean, not all terminals are like this or companies are like this, but I know like at my terminal, we have one of those brooms that sweep the top of the trailer you drive through to clean it off. But I mean, if you got a layer of ice on there, it's not coming off with the broom, and it just comes off with good old bouncing up and down the road. And
in PA, that's not hard to do.
No. There's so many potholes.
You know what? Roads in PA are like, it's like, the rumble strip on the side of the road.
Yeah.
That's like our whole road.
All over.
PA is
no hard roads are any better.
Yeah. Oh, well, they get used hard. So,
section that was under construction for 5 years. They were widening a spot out, and everybody that was local through this area would post on Facebook and TikTok and stuff like that. Like, what you have to do to go through there, you got to wear like a motocross helmet and stuff like that, because you're basically rallying through there.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Yeah. When I'm driving, So when I was driving the one time, and I was talking to a friend on the phone who's out of state, and I hit just a part on 422. It's a major highway. I wouldn't say like interstate, but it's a heavily trafficked highway. And I hit this one spot where it's just like, my truck sounded like it was about to fall apart. It was like, boom, 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 bang, bang, bang. He's like,
what, are you in a war zone?
I know. He's like, dude, are you all right? I'm just like, yeah, why? And he's like, sounds like you just went off road. I'm like, oh, no, that's just the road.
Ah, the PA roads.
Yeah, it was, and as far as I know, they haven't fixed it yet. So every time, I would have a metal a piece like a round metal piece on the back of my phone case that I would use to stick to a bag down on my dashboard that would keep my phone. Mm-hmm. And because I streamed all day, I didn't listen to FM radio, and whenever I hit certain areas like that area, I would take my phone off the dashboard and I would just hold it, because if I don't, it's going to fall on the floor and break the screen and stuff. And so I would just hold on to it because, it's going to die if I don't. But you know, back to the ice on the trailers. I'm telling you, man, like driving down the road and you're just, and I know, I don't know how it is for you, Dad. You probably don't see it as well, but I'm driving down the road and I can just see the ice flipping off the back of the trailer. And I'm just like, I'm looking at the cars back there and they're still creeping up. Sometimes they get smart and they back off and they're just creeping up and they're passing me. I'm just like, you guys, all right, well.
Do you see that stuff hanging off the top?
Yeah.
That's coming down eventually.
That's going to hit you.
Keep moving.
I love the ones that like hover behind you too. They're just like, it's like they want you to do it so they can get like an insurance claim out of it or something. It's just like, man, whatever.
Yeah, they passed a law, or not really a law, but they more enforce it now, because we had a lot of people that were getting really hurt or dying. We get, you know, at in a single snowstorm overnight, you can get up to 8 inches or more. And people will just take off. They don't, you know, they'll wipe their window off and then take off down the highway and the big sheets come off and just go through somebody else's window and hurt them. So they really enforce that. Luckily, our trailer on the flat top is just open. Yeah. So that they can dump right in there. Anything else, I have to go around with a big, extended broom and sweep it off. And if I got any ice, I just try and bang it on there as much as I can to knock it off. But if anything, I'll just go over to the hose and try and get it to melt down or whatnot. But most of the time, if it's like that, those are the days that we don't get to go to work because, you know, they don't want to sit and pull us out all day. So
that's good. That's, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know what? There are times in here in PA, we get pretty heavy snows, you know, and this year was just crazy. I mean, it was nothing. I took vacation in January and it didn't snow once the whole month I was off. My very first day back in February, it snowed. I was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. The whole month of January, nothing. And then the whole month of February, every day. I mean, it was like every 3 days we're getting a snowstorm. I was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me.
Yeah.
I took the wrong month off, you know? And, yeah. But yeah, we have people around here who do that kind of stuff too. They'll just jump in their car, clean off their windshield, and head out, you know. And some guys in their trucks the same way. It's like, if there's a pile of snow on top of my trailer, I'm gonna take it over to the shop and at least try and get some of it cleared off. You know,
you guys don't have a broom up there, do you?
No, we don't. Not in Allentown. And they have plans to put one in this kind of stuff. So that's why you take care of it. You know, you do what you got to do, because I don't want to be the cause of somebody getting hurt. I don't want to be the cause of somebody getting killed. That's just the way it is. You know, I don't want to be that guy.
You know? At some point, you just got to take your chances, man. Sometimes you just got to take your chances and hit the road and see what happens. Where's your sense of adventure? Where's your sense of adventure?
You know what? I lost that about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere on the road. I have no idea where, but it's okay. Now it's just, you know, it's funny because everybody always says, just safety first. It really is. When it comes to doing what we do, it has to be safety first because people really can get hurt. Yeah. And I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the cause of that.
Yeah. I just wish that all companies would, decide to not run on certain days because of weather or whatever, you know, like there's, you know,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they have a portion of their budget set aside for, I'm sure they do actually.
Yeah.
For wreckers and stuff like that, you know, and they're just like, well, they're calling for 12 inches of snow today, boys. We're going to see what we can get done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
And then, you know, everybody in there, all these schmucks driving into work and like my dad's case, a freaking 2001 Toyota, Camry. And it's like, all right, so you got in, you're going to drive till you get stuck. Then you got to get home or get back to the terminal and then hopefully get in your little car and drive an hour home.
Yeah.
Yep. That's
have fun.
That's the life we signed up for, I guess.
That's why you just pray for winter to get over. You know, it's like, let's just get this thing done with. Yeah, winters like this past one, they just seem like they go on and on and on and on. What, you know,
what's the weather situation for you? I mean, what's the worst kind of weather you've driven in?
Oh, straight blizzards. Like, so sometimes I'll get a text before I head out to work to say, you know, don't come in. Weather's going to get bad or it is bad. But there's been several times where I've got up and I start putting on my boots and I'm looking outside and it's already 8 or 12 inches on the ground. And I'm like, oh, you know, and then check my phone and I'll text the boss. So we're still working. Yeah, come on in. And I'm, you know, got to leave 40 minutes early to make it, you know, 20-minute drive. And I'm plowing snow with my bumper and, you know, it's almost sliding off the road in my pickup truck. And I, you know, still push to work. And I get there and then they tell me, oh, no, we're not going to work today. Go home.
I love
that. So it's not just here. It's everywhere, huh?
It happens everywhere. Thanks for showing up. You can go home.
Yeah. I like the ones where, you know, you're in the truck and you just like for me, I was starting at 9:30 and so it's noon. So you're not even there for 3 hours and you're getting an email saying, all right, guys, we're going to pack it up for the day.
Start bringing it in.
And you start bringing it in and you get another email that comes across and it says, we're looking for volunteers to stay to help plow the lot and everything. It's like,
don't look here.
Don't look here. I am not your Huckleberry. So yeah, it's funny though. I mean, I guess I had much more ambition to do such things when I first started. I remember my first snowstorm, I was that guy. I was like, yeah, I'll stay. And, you know, you're plowing, you're shoveling, snow blowing, you know, anything for the company. And then that lasted for a season or two. And then eventually it was like, I'm going home.
There's somebody else who lives closer.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you only live 10 minutes away.
Go home and sit hot chocolate and sit by the fire with the wife.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You got that right.
You know, I'll tell you, man, like, I don't think this would ever happen nowadays for me, but when I was younger and more ambitious, my boss knew I was ambitious.
Yeah. Well, you let everybody know you were ambitious.
Well, yeah. And so the one day I go to get in my car and I turn it on and I was like, oh, this doesn't sound right. So I start backing it out of the garage and it just stops working. Timing belt went. And I was fortunate it went where it did.
Yeah, you got that right.
But I called into work and I said, hey, I can't be into that. I just, my timing belt went. And my boss is like, send me your address. I'll come pick you up.
You hate those bosses.
And I'm like, what? And he did. And I was, and you know, now I'd be like, nah, I'm going to stay home and take care of my car.
See? That's why you live an hour away from work.
Yeah.
Is nobody going to go, oh, I'll come out and pick you up. Yeah, I live an hour away. Never mind. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, I didn't get even a chance to look at the car to have it, you know, figure out what I was going to do with it until, like, that weekend. Yeah. You know, every day I was bumming a ride off of somebody from work.
And that sucks in the trucking industry because you never know what your run is going
to
do.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it's easy to get in. You hit somebody up, and even if it's like, you know, they start at 6 and you start at 9, I guess I'm going in early, you know, and you just sit there. But going home, when you want to go home and you're waiting for somebody to come in to
get you, to get, because you know, they're not back yet and you are.
And you're calling somebody and you're like, hey, where you at? I'm leaving North Philly now. I should be there in about an hour and 20 minutes. And it's like, great. Well, I just punched out. So,
yeah, your mom and I set up is if my car breaks down, Michelle, I'm taking your car. You're going to have to call off work tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, okay.
Works
She's
for me.
So easy to get along with. She just makes me sick because she's just easy that way. It's like, but you know what? That's cool. I like that she is, that she's, you know, very flexible.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. But I digress.
Yeah. So, Kelly, speaking of wives and stuff, how's your wife? I mean, did she marry a trucker or did you become a trucker after you got married?
We were together for over a year when I got my CDL and stuff like that. So she kind of made a trucker. She knew where I was going. So
no gripes?
Yeah, no, not really. She kind of, in the summertime was when we really run real hard, you know.
Yeah.
She kind of had a little bit of a problem with that for the first little bit because we really didn't see a whole lot of each other because she works too. And then I was on the first couple of years, I did a lot of nights. And right as I was getting home, she was headed out. And then right when I was leaving, she was getting home. So there for a little bit. It was kind of tough, but right now we're good. She's pretty happy. So,
see, when I first started driving truck for a real trucking company in Pitt, Ohio, it was, you know, I was constantly working long hours, and I think Lindsay was probably happy about that, because back then I was a psychopath. I was crazy. And so she's probably like, oh, this is great. Like, the crazy guy, he's gone all the time and comes home and passes out because he's exhausted, and he's not so crazy anymore when he's just sleeping here all the time.
Yeah. Hey, Mom, that guy showed up again. He's in your bed. He's sleeping. Yeah, that's your dad.
Oh, that's what he looks like. Yeah. I have his eyes.
Give him back. He needs them. He's a driver.
Dad joke.
That's how I felt about my dad. He ran concrete mixers for a long time. Mm-hmm. And those hours are crazy. He was leaving at 1 a.m., you know, and working 12 to 14 hours a day. So he, you know, for a little bit, it was, like you said, it's like, who's this guy?
Yep. Sometimes that's how I felt when I first started driving for the company we're at now, that I'm at now, Pitt. I was a daytime driver, so I was, you know, doing P&D and stuff like that. And then, you know, 2 years in, I switched to a line haul driver, which is nighttime. And the kids were, you know, smaller then. Everybody was a lot younger. I don't even know. I think Jack was just about two when I started. And it's like, wow, you know, everybody is like, they hardly ever saw me.
Yeah.
You know, I was gone at night, sleeping till, you know, daytime until, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night, get up in the evening, get myself ready for work, and then off to work.
And you know, do the layover thing, which was awesome. I loved that.
Yeah, of course you did.
I was like, you're telling me I don't have to see you for 48 hours? I just got to deal with one parent. Sounds good to me.
But it's a tough life. I mean, you know, when you do this for a living, it is not a 9-to-5. You know, most drivers do not work 9-to-5. It's not a, you know, it's the life that the truck driver has, and you have to get used to that. It takes a little bit of time, and when you do, you know, there's a payoff for it. I mean, it does. It's a good paying job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the, what's an idiot like me going to do that I'm going to make what I make, you know, and doing anything else? That's what I keep, you know, I always
count yourself lucky.
You know, yeah, exactly. It was tough to start with, but, you know, like your dad, you know, Kelly, you know, he's got time in, he's got seniority, he's got, you know, there are some perks that go with seniority, and that's how it is. You know, I'm at the place I'm at for 24 years, and, you know, there's perks that go with that, you know, which is good. It's the only thing you have going for you, you know, is your seniority. So, yeah, my hat's off to your dad for hanging in and doing what he does, and for passing that tradition on to you. I think it's cool. You know, I mean, I was the first one in my family, direct family, that became a driver, and my mom was not happy about that when I became a truck driver.
Why?
I had many conversations with her about it, because she, well, it's dangerous, and I don't want you out on the roads when it's and before she passed, every time there was a snowstorm coming, I'd get a phone call. Are you guys working tonight? It's like, yeah, Mom, I'm a truck driver. We work. We work when it snows. We work when it rains. We work when it's sunny out. We work when it's, you know, a nice evening out. We work. That's the way it is. That's the job. You know, but she just could not. She did not like the idea that I was going to be on the road. Was your mom? I mean, it doesn't matter if your mom's okay with it, but I'm asking. I guess with your dad being a driver, your mom already had. She already knew what the industry was like. Was she okay with her son doing that for a living? Is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think she just was happy that I found something that I, you know, enjoy to do and stuff like that. Because, like I said, I still don't know what I want to do, but I enjoy driving. You know, I'd always play with the little trucks when I was a kid and stuff. So I just, you know, my stuff got bigger and more expensive. Now I do it for a living. So she was all right with it. She had a hard time with my dad when he was doing the mixers and stuff like that, because, you know, not being able to see him, you know, and your wife probably experienced that too with you working late nights and stuff. So, yeah, it's just, I would imagine it's hard on all moms, but I think she knew that I'd be at a good company and be safe. So.
And that's good. That, and you know, that to me, that's one of the important things in the industry, is finding a good company to be with. you know, because the better the company, they're more safety minded. They're going to look out for your, you know, they're looking out for their equipment, but they're also looking out for their drivers, you know, because that is, that's how they make their money. They got to move whatever they're moving, whatever freight, whatever thing you're hauling has to move. So they've got to look out for their people. So that's a good thing. I'm glad that you, you know, your mom was okay, because my mom wasn't. And I know it sounds dumb. It's like a dumb conversation to have, but it was a point from, you know, in my family, it was a point of contention. And she eventually got over it. So, and I, you know, and she passed a few years ago, and now I don't get those phone calls anymore. If I get a phone call from her, I'm in trouble.
You get a phone call from her, you're coming on the confessionals.
You got that? If I get a phone call from her, I don't know if I'll be around to come on the confessionals.
The other show,
exactly.
No, I mean, like when I started driving, I don't think mom ever said anything to me about it. She's like, whatever. She's like, I don't care. I can picture
what your old
mom,
man does. So
yeah, I can picture mom just sitting, like finding out that I got a job, curling her hair at the, you know, with her fingers at the kitchen table, like, oh, cool. You know,
yeah,
so happy for you. That's good. All right, good job. But so you mentioned about how you're still trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. Do you think that you would ever make a career change from driving truck?
Oh, I don't know. With today's stuff that's happening, probably not. But, I mean, if we hit the lottery.
All right. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Like,
me too. I'll tell you what, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't have a career. That would be my career.
Oh, yeah.
I'm done. I'm out.
No.
No, I'd find something.
My dream is always,
do.
I wanted to stop, make a shop, and, you know, run the big trucks and, you know, more modifications, stuff like that has been a dream. My grandpa and my uncle used to, build hot rods and stuff, so that was always kind of a dream since I was little. But nowadays, not a whole lot of people is into that stuff, especially out here, racing wise, so it's kind of died out. But there's a huge market for lifted 4x4 trucks and stuff, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's what I want. I want a big old pickup. Big pickup.
Lifted.
I want to have to climb five stories to get to it, you know?
Put an extension ladder next to it so you can get inside.
Yeah. I want something that's going to pull my house down and the neighbors hear me coming from the next town over. It's just some big old diesel. That's what I want. Probably my never
old,
get it, though.
My old wife, she said that she could hear me from, I don't know, I think it was like 3 miles away. There's a gas station on the corner, and when I turn that corner, my truck would kind of lug down, and she'd call me. She's like, where are you at? And I told her, she's like, oh yeah, that's what I thought. You'll be here in about 10 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, thinking of it now, I don't know if I want to give my kids a heads up that I'm coming home. You know? Oh, dad's coming, hurry.
Uh-oh.
that was my dad. He had I could hear his car, because his work car, because the muffler fell off of it. And you could hear him coming down the block, and it was, oh crap, dad's coming. And we'd scramble to clean up stuff. His mom would tell us, you just wait till your dad gets home.
Yep.
Don't worry, mom. We know when dad's coming home. We'll hear him.
Yeah, we'll hear him.
We got it covered.
Yeah, when I was a kid, one of my best friends, I would go to his house a lot, and his dad was an over-the-road driver, never knew when he was going to be home. And so when it came to like doing chores during the summertime, the kids, you know, they're not messing with that stuff. I mean, grandma lived there and she couldn't do anything but sit in a chair. Mom worked all day. Dad's gone all the time. So like we just did whatever
we
wanted.
Your own boss.
Yeah. And I remember there were times that because he would drop his trailer in this lot down the road, and he'd bring the tractor up into the driveway. And when he comes down that road, those three kids would run around the house, zoom, 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 vacuuming, cleaning dishes, this, that, and the other, because by the time he climbs out of the truck, does his thing, and comes inside, they got a bit of a cushion, and they were scrambling to get stuff done. And he'd come in the door, and the vacuuming's already done. Somebody standing at the the sink, you know, wrapping up the dishes and right. Hi Daddy, how are you? You know?
Oh, Dad, you're home. We didn't even know you were on your way.
We're just little angels sitting here slaving at the house all day.
Yeah, it's a funny business that way. You know, it does not have a set hours. You're just going to work until you're done. That's just the way it is. That's why they, you know, DOT gives you, you know, 14 hours of work day and 11 hours of drive time, and you're going to use it. You get in this business, you're going to use those hours.
Yeah, do you ever have to worry about that? You work those kind of crazy hours too, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah, we got a log book. We have to fill it out every once in a while, but we try and make it back before we hit our 12, before we got to fill one out. But sometimes doing the asphalt paving, we'll run from Utah clear out to the border of Nevada and Wendover. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's way out there, and the machines break down sometimes, and you got to offload that asphalt, and so you got to wait 2 or 3 hours sometimes for them to get fired back up, and then you can dump and then head back home. But yeah, it's pretty crazy sometimes.
You know, if I was ever in a situation where I was running out of time, especially since the run was local, like I'm 20 minutes from the terminal.
Right. Yeah. If I'm
broken down or something like that, I'm not even calling in to have them come get me or anything. I'm just freaking driving back. I'm driving back. I don't care. I'm driving back. Whatever.
Well, you know, when you're that close to your terminal and your whole day consists of 5 miles from the terminal, you know, you can do those kinds of things.
Not 5 miles. I mean, that's a bit of a stretch. Maybe 6 or 7.
That's how line haul drivers see city guys. Oh, yeah, he's just like 5 miles from the terminal. You know, that's all they do.
It's not much of a stretch for me, though. I mean, like, I would get, you know, sometimes I would get 3, 4, 5 deliveries done before I got 3 miles away from the terminal. I didn't even get to stop it and get my morning coffee before I hit my delivery. So,
wow.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Wow.
Man, how do you live?
It's a hard knock life for us.
It is, I'm telling you. Rough. It really is tough. I feel for you, man. Wow, do I feel for you.
A few times that I'm just longing to get that coffee and my turkey wrap and some candy holding me over for the day. And it just felt like it was never coming. It was only like 3 miles away. I just never got there. Anyways, taking you down memory lane.
It's such a rough life.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. You know, I guess that's something you guys don't do very often with a, you know, a set of trailers that, you know, that long. You're not pulling into like your local, I don't know what you guys have out there, Circle K or whatever. Get a cup of coffee.
Loves and Mavericks.
Yeah.
We got those. We can get into those, but other than that, if we can't pull along the side, then we're not stopping. So most of the guys, we got big old thermoses and lunchbox, and we pack enough for breakfast and lunch.
Yep.
You know, and then some extra snacks just in case. So.
Yep. I feel you, man. But that's my life. I take coffee with me and everything I need for all night and into the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been like, we're doing a job that's, I mean, just to get to the job from where my main terminal is, I get loaded and then I head out and I'm about 2.5-3 hours before I get to the job. And then I dump and come back and it's, you know, it's all downhill. So it's about 2 hours and then turn around and do it again. There's no stopping. There's not really anywhere to get in into some of these places because they put those, we have a lot of these concrete dividers on the middle of the roads. And that really screws it up. So, and then everywhere else, there's just so many of those little cars that they just park wherever. So you can't swing in anywhere. So it's really either bring it or don't have it.
Yep.
I forget where this was, but there was a, I forget where I was going. Like there was a place that I just wanted to stop. I forget what I wanted from this place, but I wanted the food or whatever. And so I backed in from the road and And one of the people was on a smoke break that worked there, and they're like, we got delivery. I was like, no, I'm here for the, I'm here for the food.
City guys, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Kelly, these city guys, they're like just, I don't know. They order DoorDash from their trucks. They're like, what the heck?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Wow.
I do that. Like, I didn't think anything of it until they said that. I was like, oh, I guess trailers don't come in here very often.
Yeah, because there's not enough room to pull in.
I haven't been pulling. I know
you're backing in off the street.
I stopped all the lanes of traffic to back in. They better have some good donuts or something. I don't remember what that was. I don't remember.
Holy cow.
But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life, right? Yeah, I know.
Hey, listen, sometimes you got to do what you got to do when the body knows what it wants, you know?
Yeah.
You got
to
get it.
You need to work at night, dude. Go ahead.
This guy, I don't know what he was doing, if he was hungry, or my guess is he had to go. He jumped out of his truck, and where he parked over on the diesel fuel line was at this Maverick. It's kind of got a slant grade to it, to the regular pumps. And he didn't set his brakes. And he ran in, and his truck started rolling. He came back out, and it had hit one of the gas pumps and went a blaze of glory.
Mm.
They shut down the whole thing, and the road to my terminal was shut down, and we had to go the long way around and stuff. It was pretty interesting.
Wow. So, that's a mistake and a half.
Yeah. So I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, man, that guy really must have had to go. He just jumped out, didn't even do nothing.
Yeah, and it becomes almost second nature. You just, when you come to a stop, you're going to get out of your truck, you just automatically pull your brakes. So for him to just totally forget, it had to be something that had distracted him from doing his normal, you know. But I cannot imagine being that. Wow. Oops. Explain that one to the dispatcher, you know. Sorry, my truck got away from me. Really?
There was a truck recently, I think it was last week or something, on a highway around here. I think it was 422. I mentioned that earlier. I don't know what happened, but I saw a picture, and the tractor part broke through the median on the highway, and it was on fire. And the person who posted the picture said that they stopped to look inside the cab to see if everybody's inside or is out, but they were too scared to get too close because they thought it was going to blow up, and they weren't sure if anybody had gotten out until after, I guess, a few minutes goes by, and he saw somebody else standing by, and he's like, did they get out? And they're like, yeah, that's us.
Yeah, we did that. Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Yeah. I it was a rainy, it was a heavy, heavy rainy day. So I imagine he probably hydroplaned or something like that. But you know, it's that kind of stuff that we talk about on the show, and it can get scary where it's like, you know, you can be going down the road just trying to do your best and stuff, but mm-hmm. you get a little bit of hydroplaning with these things, and they get a mind of their own. Just like Andrew, who we talked about last week, mm-hmm. he's talking about the hydroplaning and how his whole truck went sideways, and you know, it's just, you never know.
Yep.
You never know. And it's scary. It's scary. Don't raise your children to be truckers, Dad.
I've never had that happen, you know, knock on wood, in my big truck, but I've done that in my personal truck. We got the slush on the side of the road, and I was driving along, and the plow didn't get all the way over the lane, and so my truck tire just grabbed that slush, and it was like, I don't even know, just an unseen force. It just sucked my truck right off the side of the road. And luckily, I just kind of stayed calm and corrected and gave it some throttle and came out of it. But it made my butt pucker. I thought I was heading off and down in the ditch, and it was a big ditch.
Wow. I tell you what, it's scary. And that's the hardest thing to do, is keep your composure in a moment like that, whether you're in your personal car or whether you're in a big truck. You've got to keep your composure and not get excited and not be reactionary like that. You know, because so many people, that's one of the mistakes that they make, is that they try and overcorrect
Yeah.
And then they start, you know, swinging all over the place. And before you know it, they are in that ditch.
That's what I did last week with my drone. I overcorrected.
Overcorrected.
Jack had come over to my house and he was treating it because, you know, he owns a pest control company. And I had just gotten a few drones, cheap ones, but I wanted to learn how to fly these things. And it was my second time flying it. Took it outside with Jack. And he's like, how far does that go? And I said, they say it goes 2 miles. And so I shot it up high in the sky. And there was a storm rolling in, and the wind took it away.
And Jack's like, "You're right. It does go at least 2 miles."
And so, like, I'm still trying to learn how to control and stuff. So I'm like moving knobs and stuff, trying to bring it back, and I'm hitting the wrong one, and it just drops down behind trees. And I still see it on the camera, and I'm like, "Okay." And then the last image I see is of like a person's house across the way, and. We drove over there to see if we could find it, and we couldn't find it at all. I overcorrected. It's still out there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it did go at least 2 miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because this is the thing I don't get with people around big trucks when they're in their cars. And this is a kind of a pet peeve of mine. People will hang around your truck when you're driving down the highway.
I've never experienced that.
I mean, that drives me nuts.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's all new to me.
Is it? Yeah. It's like, do not hang by my tires. Don't hang next to me. Pass me. If you're in a passing lane, get past. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen. I could have a blowout. Anything can happen. Just keep moving. Get past. It's one of those pet peeves because, and you know, like Friday night, it was raining pretty good around here. It was raining really hard. And I was hitting some, and everybody slows down. Okay. So, and then you get this, you know, you always get these people who've got their SUVs and their super drivers. You know, they don't have to worry about anything. They're just going to blow past you. You know, they're doing 90 miles an hour and there's 3 inches of rain on the road. So, you know, everybody has a chance of hydroplaning. And you just, I think to myself, you're an accident looking for a place to happen is what you are when you do that. It's like, just slow down, take your time, but don't hang around. Don't hang in groups. I don't understand why cars travel in groups. They just seem to pack up and then travel that way. And one of the things that they teach you as a driver is do not travel in packs. Get away because you don't have any out then. There's nowhere for you to go if anything were to happen. If somebody blows a tire, if somebody starts spinning out, if one car, you know, starts doing something crazy, you know, or another truck driver does something crazy, it's like you have nowhere to go. And it's like, but people bunch up. I don't know why they bunch up and then they stay like that. They'll just travel down the road in a big bunch. You know, it's like, what the heck? What is with people? Spread out.
It's your squad, man.
It's a long road. You got a lot of room. You know, spread out.
Yeah.
But
that's how people drive out here in the winter. As soon as snow hits, it's like they forgot how to drive. And I'm doing 50 at the most, mm-hmm. and I'm still slowing down because the roads are, I'm noticing that it's getting worse and worse. And the plows haven't made it out yet. And that rained before and then froze and then snowed on top of it. So it's a skating rain. And I can't even, you know, I can't even give it any throttle without it spinning, and all of a sudden here comes, you know, I can't even think to just some girl in a great big SUV, and she's in the fast lane and blows by me, and it's like she had to be doing 90.
Wow.
And I was like, how are you still on the road?
Yeah.
Like, it was nuts. That day, that was one of those days where I was going to work and it was still snowing, and I was like, whoa, where are we going? There was a car that was flipped over on its roof. I don't know how that happened. Somebody must have just not been paying attention and bounced off the wall. But yeah, it just gets nuts out here. People just don't slow down at all.
Yep.
Well, I mean, usually when I see somebody driving real crazy out on the road, I'm like, well, if they can do it, I can do it. It's worked out great for me. So maybe you can try that, Kelly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just try to match their performance.
They're going for it. Well, yeah.
Don't take Tony's advice. Trust me.
I just think a couple cars.
I just look at him like, oh, I was playing it safe. Okay, let's kick it up a notch. You know, I don't know. That's how I learned how to drive. I mean, my dad taught me how to drive like that.
He did not learn that from his old man. I can tell you that.
Oh, man.
I taught my kids, read the road signs, pay attention to what you're doing, because nobody reads signs. Nobody pays attention.
The joke is on him. I couldn't read.
Well, you know, that's not my fault either.
Do you want to take any responsibility for raising me?
No. If it's good responsibility, yes. I had everything to do with that. What did you do that's good?
Not much. So that's why I've never gotten
when I did something bad.
That's it.
It was always, come get your son. Yeah.
That's what parents do. That's what we're there for. Take responsibility.
I guess I know why I've never gotten a pat on my back.
Did your mom's pat at you on the back? What are you talking about?
See what kind of abuse I get over here, Kelly?
He's such a rough life.
I hope the whole world hears this and understands.
It's so hard.
Why I'm such a complex individual.
Yeah. Yeah, you and Avril Lavigne, you're complicated.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's probably about as...
With my dad.
Yep, there you go. you know what? It's just when you sit and you talk about this, doing this for a living, this is the thing that we try to convey, you know, to anybody who's listening, whether they're truck drivers or whether they're people who don't drive truck and do whatever and they're on the road, because eventually everybody's on the road at some point. You know, it's just how it is in the U.S. Everybody has a car. You know, leave all of your distractions at home. Set them aside. I don't care what you do, just set them aside. When you're driving, don't be a distracted driver. Pay attention to what you're doing, whether you're in a big truck or in a car.
What if you're driving to a family member's funeral?
What if you are driving to a family member's funeral?
That's a distraction. You're very emotional, but you shouldn't drive.
Then you should let somebody else drive.
But what
if you're that distracted, member, then what, you should let somebody
what
else
if everybody's
drive.
Crying, but no, but you gotta go.
Then you should call
you,
Uber.
Dad, I got you on that one.
Call Uber.
Call Uber.
There's all kinds of ways that, you know what? Don't be distracted when you drive. Darn it, kid.
All right. Well,
but anyway,
Kelly, man, belly Kelly.
What the heck is with you? Double bellies.
Double belly Kelly. Thanks for chatting up with us, man. How's your dad feel about you driving and stuff? He's all good with it?
Yeah, it was all good. He actually got to do a little bit of the training when I switched over to these, so it was pretty good.
That would be my worst nightmare. He's just staring at me.
The dad stare.
Yep.
I could feel it through the phone.
But, you know, before we let you go, I want to ask you, what has been like one of the craziest things that you've seen yourself on the road that you've witnessed, whether it was an accident or something just gone crazy, or, you know, what is one of the crazier things that you've seen, that you've experienced?
Well, I was going to tell you the last episode that I got to listen to you guys, you talked about going to the military base. We have two or we have three. We have Hill Air Force, and then we have Dugway. And then we have Camp William, and going out to Dugway Proving Ground. I got to run out there, and we were just taking some material to help them build a road out there. And we had to go through the military, check stuff. You know, they ran a frat ground truck right there. You know, they checked the vehicle. When you come in, mirrors underneath everything, and they tell you, you know, no pictures. Don't call anybody. Don't answer any calls. None of that stuff like that. And don't get out of your truck. Whatever you do, you're going to a spot. You just go in. You take care of it. Someone's going to come up to the window. You roll it down. You give them the ticket. You roll it up. You leave. And I was like, okay, you know, this is kind of crazy. And the guy that I was running with, I asked him, I was like, you really think they'd know if you took a picture or something out here? And he goes, yeah, don't do it. We're not getting detained out here. And I was like, okay. But yeah, I went really far out there on that base, and there's some weird stuff out there. They had, from back in the day of World War II and stuff, they had, buildings built to match the German warehouses and stuff like that. So they knew how they could train to go out and do special missions where they could get in and get out without being seen, or how they need to deconstruct them if they hit them with a bomb and all sorts of that stuff. But the area that I went in was some abbreviation that I can't remember, but it was stood for something hazardous waste material stuff. And, you know, it said, you know, if you don't get out of your vehicle without a hazmat suit and everything like that, I was kind of freaking out.
I can't imagine. So that would be, that's like a big worry of mine. It really is. It's like, anytime it says something like that, it's like, okay, I'm not getting out. I'm not doing anything. I'm rolling up my windows. I'm stuck right here. My butt is sitting in my seat, dude. I'm not going anywhere.
All of a sudden, you feel like you're part of the episode of X-Files or something.
Exactly. Oh, my word, yeah. Holy cow. It's like...
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, they say that there's an underground spot out there and a lot of UFO activity out there that flies over Nevada, which is, there's that little town out there, Wendover, and people that say, there's a lot of riding to do out there, like UTV and ATV stuff that you can do on the other side of the base, on the Nevada side. And people that camp out there say that they see all sorts of weird stuff. And it's a weird place, man. I tell you, we got some weird stuff out here.
You definitely do.
Oh yeah. Utah, definitely.
You definitely do.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that we could call that other show and talk about, because there's some crazy, crazy stuff that's I've heard. I've seen a couple weird things that I can't explain myself, but
like lights or
as far
what?
As trucking goes. No, more of like cryptid side of stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I dig it. I dig it.
Yeah, camping and something. So,
he said the other show.
Don't leave me hanging.
Stop trying to ruin the other show.
You know what? That's your problem.
You're stealing an episode.
That's all right.
All right, go ahead.
I want to hear about the. I want
to
hear.
Then listen to the show when it comes out.
No, I'm actually getting a chance to talk to the guy.
Go ahead, Kelly. Go ahead. Humor him. Give him the light story.
Oh. No, I'm just
kidding. Give me the cryptid stories. I want to hear it.
Well, I'll give you one that just happened recently. So last year, it was me and my brother and a good friend of mine that went hunting. And my buddy's cousin, he brought horses up, and we were going to ride in to this remote area. And the three of us went up in there. Everything was fine. I remember kind of getting a weird feeling. And on the way back down, the sun's going down right in our faces. The horses started acting up. I remember this tree branch that I tried touching on the way up there. I couldn't reach it. It was probably, I want to say, 12 feet off the ground. And it's an oak, what they call a scrub oak. So it's really... really hard to break, and it was a big thick branch, probably almost 8 inches around. This branch was just broke right off. It wasn't snapped and hanging. It was broke and set right in the middle of the trail. And there was a boulder that literally, you could tell that it had been pulled straight out of the ground, and still the ground around it wasn't disturbed at all. And placed right in the trail next to the branch. So you had to go around through the bushes. And my body was just telling me that there's just something off. And I remember just looking over, and in the bushes, I could see it looked like a face, but it looked like, the Cheshire Cat smile, just this great big, scary smile. And I remember, I'm like, man, that's just that pareidolia thing where your mind just makes shapes. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, I'm just psyching myself out. But the horses were acting funny, and we get back to camp, and my buddy is just like, man, I swear I seen this face. And like, cause he was acting weird, and I finally broke it out of him by the time we were all headed to bed, and he broke down, and he's like, man, I swear I looked over there and I seen this face. And he's like, I don't remember that rock and that branch being in the road when we came up and stuff. And I was like, dude, same. And then his cousin's like, I don't know what I've seen, but I don't think I'm going to go up that middle mountain again. And he was like quiet the whole time. He was up there for the next day and a half, and he went home. And today talking to him about it, he doesn't really say much. My buddy is now interested in Bigfoot, and stuff like that. He sends me stuff all the time. I'm like, look at this. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty creepy.
That is, wow, that is cool, dude. That is really cool.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
I appreciate you sharing that. No matter what Tony says, I appreciate you sharing that.
I'm just sitting over here feeling like I was, like I, something was stolen from me.
Oh, you poor man, you. I feel
well, I got some more for you, Tony. I'll give you a call on the other show and share some other stuff. There's been some other what I would like almost say demonic energy in my old house that my parents lived in and stuff like that. So
sounds good to me. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But Kelly, man, gracias for hanging out with us.
It has been cool. It really has.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you coming on. I mean, this show is about drivers, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing your stories and talking with us and kind of chopping it up, as Tony says, you know, just kind of chopping it up a little bit. So we appreciate you the time. Thank you so much. It really has been fun. Tony's like, he's laughing. Yeah, chop it up, Dad. Okay. But no, thank you. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah. No, it's been fun, guys. I really enjoy listening to you guys and the banter going back and forth between father and son and stuff. It really helps the day go along. You know, sometimes I'll go a couple weeks without listening so I can kind of binge it a little bit. So it's good stuff.
Cool.
Well, it's not, the banter's not an act. We really do hate each other.
You're such a jerk. I'm telling your mom. She'll defend me.
I don't fear that. That woman is not even 5 feet tall. You think I'm scared of her? You think I'm scared of her? I'm not scared of that woman.
She knows where you live, buddy.
That's fine.
She comes
down every Wednesday. Yeah. Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
You know it. Help me say it.
Share the show.
Share it everywhere you can. Share it on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I don't know, YouTube, whatever. Wherever you share stuff.
We're sharing the show on YouTube. Jack's been uploading some stuff. I think he's been uploading. I know he's been working on putting together some of the shows and putting them on YouTube. I think he's trying to do what I'm doing with the confessional, where we're uploading the archive of the episodes to YouTube. So if you want and you're listening to the show here, please just do us a favor. You don't have to listen to the show on YouTube, but just head over to YouTube, look up Hammerlane Legends, hit subscribe, get the subscriber count up. We would like that from the audience, so please go ahead and do that if you can.
Yeah, we'd love to have that.
Yeah, and also we've mentioned this before, Lindsay is working on revamping the store.
She seriously is. I'll tell you what, I was, you know, when we got together today, I was seriously impressed with some of the stuff that she has come up with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a revamping, and there's going to be all kinds of cool stuff there.
It's better.
It is really
it's
amazing.
It's just better.
It is.
It's like, it's night and day from what I made. So.
Yep. It's like, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I really am.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, between the two shows and stuff, she's been working on revamping the stores and stuff. I actually think she's taken away stuff off of the confessional, stuff that just doesn't sell. I was like, oh, that's cool. Make some socks. And she's like, yeah, but they suck, Tony. They suck. Like, I'm like, but they're socks. They suck, though.
So, let's put something there that makes sense.
Yeah, something that people actually want to buy. Yeah. So keep an eye out on the store there, hammerlanelegends.com/gear, or just hit the gear tab. We will be changing it hopefully within the next week or two. Lindsay's doing all these designs. Every 5 minutes I'm getting email notifications saying that she launched another product on the store, and she's just, you know, I guess, I don't think she has it listed yet, but she's just making the things, and you know, it's going to be cool. So keep an eye out for that. But until next week, keep the hammer down
in the hammer lane.
All right. See you.